And even knowing these truths still leaves us with a practical question that I feel like we have to answer. And that question is how does all of this information that we have, how does this play out on a Tuesday when you're in the middle of life? Does anybody remember what their Tuesday looked like this past week? Or has Tuesday been blurred and you're just thinking about what happened on Friday? Right? It's a week, right? So let's ask it like this. Who had a week? Who had a week, right? And so how do we live this out on a Tuesday, on a Wednesday, when life is just hitting us from all sides? And today we're actually going to learn who is leading us through those moments and why we have the power to walk through those moments. And does anybody know anything about sailboats? How do sailboats move? Wind. The sail, right? Without a sail, the sailboat doesn't move. And so if we were to have a sailboat sitting on some water, we can have a destination in mind. We can even have a captain at the wheel. But without wind, that sailboat is going nowhere. Right? The wind doesn't force the boat to move. It moves the boat when the sails are open and positioned to catch it. And I would submit to you today that the Christian life is much like that sailboat. We know we belong to Jesus, and we know that heaven is our future because we are citizens of heaven, but we were never meant to move forward on our own strength. We were never meant to row the sailboat, if you will. He gave us instead the Helper, the Holy Spirit, to lead us along the way. And so living not of this world isn't about rowing harder. It's not about trying harder, is what you should have just heard. But we have the picture of the sailboat. It's not trying to row that sailboat to where you want it to move. It's not about working harder in life. It's not about exhausting yourself to try to control everything. It's about raising the sails of the boat, or raising the sails of our hearts and allowing the Holy Spirit to lead us where Christ has already called us to go. So if you have your Bible with you, I invite you to open it this morning to Romans chapter 8, verses 5 through 14. Romans 8, 5 through 14. And it will be on the overhead as well. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. So then, brothers, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. That's a whole lot. And what I want to hit on today is the words that Paul is speaking here. He is writing this to believers who are learning how to follow Jesus in the midst of a culture that is constantly pulling on their identity and their priorities. And when we look at it, Rome, and we know this, Rome was a culture where your citizenship mattered. We learned that last week. We are citizens of heaven, but when we looked at the Philippians, knowing where you were a citizen was almost like your identity. And so right now, Rome is a culture that status where image mattered deeply. And so what Paul is doing for the believers then and for us even today is to remind us that the Christian life is driven by the presence of God within them, not outward pressure, not with what you do, but the Spirit of God within you. And he also shows us that salvation is more than forgiveness, and it's more than just a future hope. It is present transformation through the Holy Spirit. That is what salvation is. We are being transformed through the Holy Spirit. And he is active in the believer's life. That's what we need to understand today, is the Holy Spirit wasn't for then. It is the Spirit of Christ living in all of us. He is active in the believer's life today, guiding decisions, shaping our character, giving us strength to live faithfully. And it should be a reminder for all of us today that we are not meant to navigate life on your own. If you've never sailed in a sailboat before and you get yourself out on a big lake or a big ocean and you have never navigated, how are you going to end up at the same port that you just left from? Right? Likely pretty hard to do because you don't know how to navigate. At the same time, the Holy Spirit leads and helps us navigate so we can go through this world while not being shaped by this world. So if the Spirit is present in the believer's life, if the Spirit is active in the believer's life, the next question is what it looks like to live this out every single day. And the first thing I need you to understand this morning is you are not meant to walk alone. Say, I am not meant to walk alone. I am not meant to walk alone. See, following Jesus was never meant to be something you try. It was never meant to be something that you do by yourself. When you gave your life to Christ, God didn't forgive you and then leave you on your own. God doesn't just leave you and say, okay, I forgave you. Now I'm going to go back to doing what I'm doing. I'm leaving you. See you later. Good luck. I wish you the best. Instead, what actually happened is he put his Spirit inside of us, so that we would have help, that we would have direction, that we would have strength in everyday life. And what we need to learn to depend on is God as you walk through normal situations. It's easy to rely on ourselves when we know that it's a simple task, like driving to work every day. Simple task, right? But when we learn to depend on God, we actually strengthen our walk with God. And so what we want to do, you want to make good choices and you want to respond the right way. That's the easy answer. But if you learn to rely on your own effort, if you say, I am strong enough that I do this well, it gets tiring pretty fast. When you only have to rely on yourself, it gets wearing very quickly. You'll find that your strength runs out and you start failing every turn you make because you are not relying on the Spirit of God. What Paul is trying to remind us today is that you are not limited to what you can do alone, because the Holy Spirit is with us in everyday life, even in the ordinary. The Holy Spirit is not just meant for big moments or big decisions. No, the Holy Spirit is present with you every single day. Every moment of every day, you have the Spirit of God with you. The Holy Spirit gives us clarity when we're unsure. He brings conviction when conviction needs to happen, when we start to drift and we make decisions that are not in line with God. He brings peace when emotions start to rise. The Holy Spirit is even present in conversations, decisions, and reactions all week long, not just Sunday morning when you're in church or in Sunday school. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 says, walk by the Spirit. Can anyone finish that? And you will not. What? You will not gratify the desires of the flesh. The word walk in Galatians 5:16 simply means day by day living. If it isn't one big moment, it's not one big, like Paul had his conversion on the Damascus Road and Jesus came and it was a bright light, and it's not these just big moments that the Holy Spirit is present. Instead, it's everyday understanding and recognizing that we get to choose. I need you to understand that you choose every day whether or not you're going to submit to God's leading in your life. You choose that every day if you're going to submit to God's leading. And as we continue to learn, as we grow, as we respond, as obedience becomes tested and it steadies in our life, it's easier to make those decisions. Your life will start to look more like Jesus. And don't you know that that's the whole point, is to be more like Jesus. Our impact statement on this point is you are not walking alone. It's not meant to walk alone. And then here's the good news. You're not walking alone. As a believer in Jesus, you have the Holy Spirit inside of you. And when we realize as believers that we're not walking alone, it makes it easier to rely less on our own strength and more on the Spirit's help every single day. And that doesn't just change how we feel. It doesn't change what we how we process things, but it starts to change how we live. When we know that we have the Holy Spirit's guidance in all aspects of life, we start finding ourselves not making those decisions on our own, but then going to Jesus, going to God, going through the Holy Spirit, listening and saying, how am I supposed to carry this out? It changes how we live our lives. And that brings us to the next point. The Spirit changes our direction. The Holy Spirit doesn't only comfort us. He's not only known as the comforter, but he also redirects us. He nudges our hearts. He brings conviction. He corrects our steps when they need to be made. And he helps us choose what leads to life instead of what pulls us back into death. See, without the Holy Spirit, we would be a pretty hopeless people. This isn't meant to be harsh. It's not meant to be condemning. The Holy Spirit is not there to feel like a burden, to feel like weighing you down. Instead, the Holy Spirit is personal. He knows who you are. He is patient. And what you need to understand is through the Holy Spirit, God is caring for you. He cares about you, and he wants to guide you in these steps. There are moments that you might sense a quiet check in your spirit. Have you ever said something because it was right there on the edge of your tongue and instantly felt it in your spirit that that was the wrong thing to say? I have a few people smiling at me, but they didn't raise their hand, but that's okay. That's because the Holy Spirit is doing his work. He's bringing about saying, hey, don't do that. He brings that check into our life. And maybe it's a word that you were about to say. Maybe you didn't say the word that you were about to say. Maybe he said, hey, don't do that. But maybe it's about a decision you were getting ready to make. Maybe it was a decision that was going to have an impact that you don't even understand yet. Or it's a reaction. Who all likes to watch football here? Or sports of any kind? Anybody? What happens when a play goes the wrong way and something stupid happens? When we were kids, we bought my dad the bad call brick. It was a foam brick. It looked like a brick, and it was had the Chicago Bears because he's a diehard Chicago Bears fan. I don't know why. And any time that there was the wrong call, he could throw the brick at the TV. Right? So maybe it's a reaction that we're about to have to bad news. The Holy Spirit says, hey, let's help you choose a better path. Let's help you make a better decision here. And it's not because he's trying to control you. It's because he's trying to protect you. Because what happens, everybody can think of their jobs right now. Everybody, or kids, you can think about this in school. If you have the wrong reaction to something and your peers, your friends, your coworkers are around you and see that, if it's the wrong reaction, does that damage your testimony of who Jesus Christ is in your life? The answer to that is yes. So now I have damaged testimony to who Jesus is in my life, and now I've got to repent for that. I've got to go to the people and say, hey, as a Christian, I still make mistakes. Who knows that as a Christian you're still going to make mistakes? Every single day I make mistakes. Ask Rochelle. And so the point is it has put a tarnish on who Jesus is in my life because they saw how I reacted to something. So the Holy Spirit instead tries to protect, he tries to guide us, and he tries to grow us. Now, it is up to us. It goes back to that choose. We can choose to listen. We can choose to be obedient to what the Holy Spirit is asking us to do. If we're not going to listen, nothing is going to change in our lives. And so if we were just to be left to ourselves, picture yourself back on that boat. You're left to yourself. The captain left the ship and said, good luck, I'm tired of dealing with you. What's going to happen? You're going to drift. You're going to drift to the shore somewhere. And maybe in life, it's that we drift back to what is easy. We drift back to what is familiar. Even when it's not healthy, we might find ourselves back in that position where this is just comfortable because we've spent so much time here. But when we allow the Holy Spirit to captain, when we become sensitive to the Holy Spirit, our direction begins to change. Our direction is not meant to live on our own and try our best and hope. Instead, the Holy Spirit takes us along with him to put us more into the image of Christ because of how he is helping us grow. Without the Holy Spirit, there's not a whole lot of growth in any direction. Our response, I'm still waiting for this to be true in my life more often, but our responses become slower and wiser. Who knows the power of a slow to speak or wise answers thought through without the reaction? And what happens is our priorities start to line up with what matters, what the Holy Spirit is calling us to. John chapter 16, verse 13 says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. And so being led by the Spirit is not about hearing a loud voice. It's not about having dramatic moments in your life all the time, all these. It's learning to listen in the quiet. It's learning to listen in stillness. It's learning to pause and trust that God is still actively involved in your everyday steps, even when you might not see it. Impact statement is the Spirit redirects your path. So the Holy Spirit doesn't just comfort us. He doesn't just redirect us. He also begins to change what's happening on the inside. And what's on the inside is the Spirit produces real changes. Who knows that? I'll find out if I'm going to get in trouble for saying this or not later. But who knows that if you put lipstick on a pig, it's still a pig. Come on. We used to say that in the car business. You'd take in this old junker in on trade, and you'd detail it, you'd back it out, you'd make it look nice, but it was still a 300,000-mile rusted-out junker. You can put lipstick on a pig, it's still a pig, right? And so where am I going with that? Is we can try our best to bring change in our life. We can read all. We went to Barnes & Noble yesterday. We had an impromptu date night. In fact, the boys were going to come with us, and we decided after archery, nope, you're staying home. We're going without you. Have fun. Good luck. Fend for yourself. We ended up at Barnes & Noble, and we have tons and tons and tons of all the personal growth, personal development books, the theology books, all the things. And I said to Alicia, I said, you know, it'd be good to just find some Christian fiction that is wholesome reading, but also not just constantly like telling me how inept I am as a pastor. And so we took time and we were looking at all the books, and literally in Barnes & Noble, by the way, there's only like this much. Y'all understand how much I'm trying to say, right? Maybe 10 feet by 10 feet by 10 feet, three shelves, and maybe 6 feet tall of books. And a bunch of them were listed as personal growth, devotional, Bible, which is all fine, but only a small handful. So I ended up coming home with a C.S. Lewis book, so that's right on the verge of Christian fiction and theology, if you know anything about C.S. Lewis. But I came home with a new C.S. Lewis book yesterday. But it's about taking those opportunities. If I could have easily went and just bought a different book, and frankly, I don't read as much as I should, but when I do read, it's very purposed, it's very focused. And if I just rely on the fiction, and I say, oh, that's a good principle I can apply to my life, but I don't put it in application with what the Word says, if I'm not allowing the Holy Spirit to lead me, guide me, show me what to keep, what to throw away, what's good, what's not good, I'm going to be that drifting boat that produces no change, no direction, no purpose for why it's on the water. But when we have the Holy Spirit, He's going to produce real change. Because when we submit to Him, when we lean to what He is doing, where He is leading, it brings a deepness to our relationship with the Lord and our trust to see what He is doing and who He is creating us to be. And that's to be more like Jesus. Because the Holy Spirit cares deeply about who we are on the inside, not how we appear on the outside. Who knows that in this life we want quick changes? Instant changes. Anybody? Like, I'm certain there's going to come a day when new Sharon's going to have DoorDash. Why am I certain? Because it's everywhere else. It's just a matter of time before they find a way to make it profitable in a small town, right? It's just a matter of time before the drivers see that New Sharon people are willing to pay a higher tip to get food from Oski to save them from having to drive to Oski. Come on, right? You're all smiling at me like I'm crazy right now. But the truth is we like quick and easy. We like quick and easy. We want it now. We don't want to have to wait. And we try to apply that to our relationship with Jesus. But often, the Spirit works on changing our heart and how we're viewing the situation before He comes and He starts moving in the circumstance. His job is to shape our attitudes. It's to shape our reactions. It's to shape our character. And the thing is that once those are all controlled, or not controlled, but when those come under what the Holy Spirit is trying to do, then we can begin to let go of that instant, that now it has to be, and we see the bigger change, because a bunch of small over a long period of time, when you step back and look at it, it's a big change. And even the things that once control you, the things that that dictate how you respond or what sets you off or what things hurt you in a deep way that you're carrying from your childhood or from another time in your life where your response needs to be defensive or it needs to be this. The Holy Spirit will work in those where those will start to lose their grip on your life. He will start to work in such a way that those things no longer have that impact over your life. And once what once feels impossible, what you never thought was attainable, it starts to feel different. It starts to look like I can accomplish this because God is working in my life. Not because you became strong. It's not because you did anything, but it's because you surrendered to God's work in your life. And here's the benefit of that. You start to handle conflict differently. Who in here likes conflict? Just show of hands. Who actually likes conflict? Nobody? Conflict is tension, right? And so the Holy Spirit brings about how to handle conflict differently, brings patience to those who need patience or more patience than they had before. The Holy Spirit allows us to forgive faster. The Holy Spirit leads us to speak more carefully, to be intentional with the words that are coming off of our lips. That right there, that is what the Holy Spirit is doing. He is producing the growth that is real and lasting growth, not I'm going to try all my hardest to do it this way and to fail miserably. Philippians 1:6 says, He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. So what does that tell us? That tells me that God does not start something and then walk away. Who knows that it's not the pastor who does the saving? It's not your neighbor who does the saving. It's not your family member who does the saving. God does not call you to repentance. He does not start something in your life and then walk away from you. He doesn't abandon you because he deposits his Holy Spirit in us to work in us, to continue shaping us. And it's the Spirit's job to work patiently, faithfully, and personally in each of our lives. And our impact statement is the Spirit changes you from the inside out. So when the Holy Spirit is comforting you, when he's redirecting you, when he's changing you from the inside out, something else begins to happen in your life. Faith stops being just something you believe, a good idea, a good concept, and it becomes something that you start to live. And as we get ready to wind this down, Joel, if you want to make your way up here, what we need to understand today is that the Holy Spirit is not far from you. He is not distant from you. He is present in the middle of your ordinary days. He is present in all of your conversations. He is present in all of your decisions. He is present in the quiet moments when no one else sees what you're going through, when no one else sees what you're carrying. Now, I know that some of you this morning, you need comfort. Some of you came in here this morning needing clarity on your life. The good news is, the promise that we all have is that you are not left to figure it out on your own when you have a relationship with Jesus. God walks with you every single day. He speaks to your heart. He redirects you. He, when you start to drift, he pulls you back into alignment. He strengthens you when you feel weak and inept. Your part is not to have everything perfectly together. If you thought that I have to be perfect before I can do this or before I can give my life to Christ, I have to be perfect. He is not asking you to be perfect. Because if he was, none of us would be here today. Our part is to just remain open to him, to allow his presence, his spirit to lead us. Our job is to slow down enough to listen. Our job is to be willing to follow him when he nudges your heart in a new direction, when he's trying to impact you or have you do something. And when we begin to walk that close in step with the Holy Spirit, change may not happen all at once, but it will happen. It does happen. Peace starts to replace anxiety in your life. Patience begins to grow where frustration used to live. You start responding appropriately instead of reacting. People around you start to notice something different because Jesus is shaping you from the inside out. And this is how we live in the world and not of this world. This is how we live in the world without being shaped by the world. Not because we're trying harder, not because we have isolated ourselves, but because we walk daily with the Spirit of God who lives in each and every one of us. And as we continue to do that, our faith becomes visible. Our faith becomes visible in real ways, in real places, at our job, at the school, and it becomes with real people. Now, if you've been here for any length of time, you've heard me talk about our sphere of influence. Our sphere of influence is who the Lord has surrounded us with in our life that we can have a direct impact on. If the Holy Spirit brings about a change in our life in real visible ways, that should have an impact on our sphere of influence because we are living in such a way that points everyone back to Jesus. And when we do that, when we submit, when we are so changed that the Spirit of God is in every aspect of our life, that right there is how we continue to engage our community for Jesus, is by allowing the Spirit of God to flow through us and show the changes that have happened in our lives. If you would, as we bring this to a close today, would you just stand to your feet? This is a time for us to take a moment to reflect, to respond. If you would, just close your eyes, bow your heads. That way you're not distracted by anybody around you or you're worried about what others think with how you may respond. My question to you today is, do you belong to Jesus? Do you belong to Jesus? The reason why that question is a priority today is very simple. It's because our life, everything that we've talked about today, begins right there by belonging to Jesus. You cannot follow the Spirit's leading if you've never first surrendered your heart to Christ. Jesus said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." And we know that verse 17 goes on and reminds us that God did not send Jesus into the world to condemn the world, but rather to save the world through him. So if you're here today, if I am speaking to you today and you know right now in this moment, you feel a nudging on your heart that you need to give your life to Jesus today, or maybe you've even drifted away and you find yourself saying, you know what, I need to come back. I need to be brought back to this moment where I have surrendered to Jesus. Two things. One, you don't have to fix everything yourself. You don't have to fix everything first before you can come to him. You just simply come as you are. So if you sense that stirring in your spirit right now, I need you to understand this is not pressure for me. This is just me putting out there what I believe the Lord is working on. And if you would like to respond today, would you just raise your hand and say, hey, I need my life to be made right with God. Is there anybody in the room today? Praise the Lord. Come on. Anybody else? Praise the Lord. Church, I'm going to invite all of us to pray this prayer together that I'm about to lead us through. And it's important that you know that these words mean nothing if you don't mean it in your heart. These words don't save you. It is your understanding and your surrender to the Lord. And so, church, would you pray with me this morning? Dear Jesus, thank you for dying for my sins. Please forgive me of all of my sins. Make me a new creation through your Holy Spirit. Will you lead me, guide me, and use me? From this moment on, I commit myself to you and only you. Move in ways in my life that I can't do on my own. In Jesus' name, amen. One person this morning raised their hand and said, hey, I need to be made right before Jesus this morning. So church, can we celebrate that one person's decision for the Lord? Listen, for the one that raised their hand, Jesus loves you. He sees you, he knows what you're walking through, and he wants to be with you and present every single day. Will you say yes every single day to him? Church, as we wrap this down finally, I want to give all of us a moment to respond to the Lord. Right now, if you know that the Holy Spirit has been speaking to you, don't ignore it. He hasn't spoken to you for you to ignore. He has spoken to you so you'll take action. This morning, if you need peace, if you need direction, if you need a fresh start in your relationship with Christ, in your walk with Christ, right now, this is your moment to do so. Don't have to be perfect. You just have to take a step. This morning, church, the altar is open. The steps are open, and I want to pray with you. Would you come and meet with Jesus this morning? Thank you.
purify my heart. Let me be as gold and precious silver. Purify my heart. Let me be as gold, pure gold, refiner's fire. My heart's one desire is to be holy, set apart for you. I choose to be holy, set apart for you, my master, ready to do your will. The great hymnist, John Newton, at the end of his life, once said, "My memory is fading, but there are two things that I know. I'm a great sinner. He's a great Savior." And so maybe this morning you just need cleansed. There's no excuse. Take him into this morning. Seek him out. The altars are open. Purify my heart. Cleanse me from within. And make me holy. Purify my heart. Cleanse me from my sin. Deep within, refiner's fire. My heart's one desire is to be holy, set apart for you, Lord. I choose to be to do your will. I choose to be holy, set apart for you, Lord. I choose to be holy, set apart for you, to do your will, ready to do your to be holy, set apart for you, Lord. I choose to be holy, set apart for you, my master, ready to do your will. Thank you. ready to do.
We pray this morning for every person in this room today, Lord, that is our heart right there. Lord, that we are willing and ready to do what you've asked us to. Lord, I pray for every person in here today, Lord, that your spirit, Lord, would continue to work in our lives. Lord, places where we've blocked or we've said, nope, not yet, or I don't want to do this. Lord, I pray that you would work. You would soften our hearts, Lord. Father, that we would find ourselves surrendering to you more than what we already have. Lord, that we would see you work and bring about changes in our life, that you would bring victory in our life, that you would heal old hurts in our life, that you would bring forgiveness in our life. Lord Jesus, I pray this morning that our hearts and our minds are in unison when we say, Lord, we surrender to you. We are open to how you want to lead. Lord, I pray a blessing upon every family here. Lord, I pray for those who are sick, those that are healing from surgery. Lord, for those who it's too cold for them to get out today. Lord, I pray that your spirit would be present, that they would know you in a way that they've never known before. Lord Jesus, we glorify your name. We glorify your name. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen and amen.